Well, the virus has now killed more than 100 people in China, and new cases have been confirmed around the world.
So you don't want to frighten the American public.
France and South Korea have also got evacuation plans.
But you need to prepare for and assume,
strongly warning Americans to avoid all non-essential travel to China,
that this is going to be a real serious problem.
France, Australia, Canada, the US, Singapore, Cambodia, Vietnam, the list goes on.
Health officials are investigating more than 100 possible cases in the US.
Germany, a man has contracted the virus.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
Japan, where a bus driver contracted the virus.
Coronavirus has killed more than 100 people there and infected more than 4,500.
We have to prepare for the worst, always, because if you don't and the worst happens.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
As you all saw, Biden also refused to explain why his son Hunter was paid $3.5 billion, protected by Chris, by the wife of the former mayor of Moscow. And they talk about me with Russia. I have nothing to do with Russia. And took out $1.5 billion from China. He manages, makes millions of dollars a year, right? Then he got the $183,000 a month. Would anybody like that job? You don't have a job. You're not employed. You get thrown out of the military for unfortunate reasons. Your father becomes vice president, and you get hired for $183,000 a month with, I think, a $3 million upfront payment. I think they could have had him for less. Would anybody take that job? And he knows nothing about energy. What do you know about energy? Well, that's not my thing.
Other China. I've spent a lot of time, apparently I was told by the folks of state, I've spent more time in private meetings with Xi Jinping than any world leader. I have 25 hours of private dinners with him, just he and I, and one interpreter.
Welcome back to War Room Pandemic, a John Frederick Radio Network on Real America's Voice.news, the streaming platform of the Trump Revolution, Newsmax TV, G News, GTV. A huge day. We've talked Jack Posobiec from One American News to stay over, a naval intelligence officer who speaks Mandarin. By the way, Hunter Biden is a massive national security issue, and I'm sorry if the Democrats don't want to address it. It is going to be addressed, why he's a national security issue, and it's not related to the Ukraine. That's just graft, okay? That's just graft and corruption. He's a national security issue because of China, okay? And there's going to be more information coming out about that, I think, in the near future. But Joe Biden, you know, we want the State Department to give the readouts of all the private dinners he talks about. Let's see what he talked about with Xi. His deal on the cyber intrusions and the militarization of the South China Sea were epic fails. So this is what Joe Biden, and you saw Joe Biden on the stage the other day, barely knows where he is. We need to see what the readouts are from those private dinners, because we know his family's made a fortune in China, cash money. Okay, Raheem Kassam, Jack Posobiec. Raheem, you've gone through this report briefly. We're going to do a lot more. This report's so important because now Adam Schiff to cover the failures of the apparatus, and I don't say it's a deep state, it's in your face, and I've said this for years. They have failed this nation on the biggest existential threat it's ever had, China. And guess what? Steve Bannon was right, and they were wrong. Okay? And now Adam Schiff has come out, and he's admitted. Okay? They have covered this up for years. Where was the House Intelligence Committee, even the Republicans? Why were people not on top of this? Why was John Brennan not called to account? Why was Clapper not called to account? Why was Hayden not called to account? This is outrageous. Our greatest enemy has infiltrated the financial community, the corporate community, the political apparatus, our cultural institutions. Everything's been infiltrated by CCP, Chinese Communist Party, cash money, and influence peddling. And now we have a CCP virus that's essentially ripped our economy apart and killed over 200,000 of our fellow citizens. Jack, I'm really glad you stayed over. Jack Max is going to have a whole thing in the pandemic. We've got Ian Smith, the co-owner of the Atlas Gym in New Jersey. We've got a whole packed second hour. Raheem, back to you, and Posobiec, walk us through this report.
I thought it was Ian Smith, the Prime Minister of Rhodesia, who's going to be joining us. All right, Steve, look, I've been through some of this now, right? And I want to come back to something that Posobiec pointed out about this. Now, this is a quote from the report here. quote, the United States intelligence community has not sufficiently adapted to a changing geopolitical and technological environment increasingly shaped by a rising China. Absent a significant realignment of resources, the U.S. government and intelligence community will fail to achieve the outcomes required to enable continued U.S. competition with China on the global stage for decades to come and to protect the U.S. health and security, end quote. As you say, it's nice that they're finally waking up, but let me explain to the audience a little bit how this works. Between this and the other GOP report on China that we've seen come out in the last 24 hours, it's still not good enough. You know why? Because it's a softly, softly way of doing a mea culpa and saying, hey, actually, we're in a far worse state than you could possibly think. This is their way of easing people into the mindset that they are taking this seriously. But it's very late to be taking this seriously in the game. It should be saying that we need an immediate flipping of resources from this whole Atlanticist, NATO-driven, anti-Russia stuff, which, as you've said before, is a country the size of the economy of Italy or New York State that they continue to allege has some kind of behemoth-like powers over the United States. And we've got more reporting on that coming on the National Pulse later on today. Thomas Farnan, this lawyer in Pennsylvania, put this ebook together for us. It's called The Russia Lie, and people can get it at therussialie.com. And he said in that book, which we released last week, Steve, he says in the book that these people, whether it's at the think tanks, the AEIs, the Brookings institutions, all of these, were so entrenched in using Russia and the whole Ukraine saga and everything that you've seen over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years on the NATO transatlantic stage, that this is where the resources of the U.S. government and the U.S. intelligence agencies have been going. And Thomas Farnan is absolutely right, and it's costing us now, and this report is confirmation of that. Jack and Jack.
Yeah, so...
Hey, Jack, hang on for one second. I just want to say something. We're not apologists for Russia. It's run by the KGB. It's a kleptocracy. They're bad guys. They've got plenty of nuclear weapons, and they're always trying to cause trouble. That being said, when you've got to weigh and measure and kind of set priorities, that the CCP is an existential threat. It's probably the greatest enemy we've ever had with the greatest number of resources, and we've allowed them to infiltrate. Unrestricted Warfare was published in 1999. They laid out the entire war plan 20-some years ago, of economic warfare, technology warfare, information warfare, and potentially kinetic warfare in the South China Sea and up there on the border of Chinese-occupied Tibet with our Indian allies. So this is not, has been hiding in plain sight. And the intelligence apparatus, they should have been on this, but they willfully looked the other way, and they built Russia up to be 10 feet tall. Russia's not 10 feet tall. It's in a demographic death spiral. It doesn't make one product in the world in technology anybody wants. It's got some natural resources that, guess what, our German allies are in business with them on natural gas and others, right? It's a sideshow, and Ukraine's a sideshow to a sideshow. The main event, the main thing is the Chinese Communist Party. This report today, and Raheem's exactly right. This is called Ben Smithing. I said, we were all over this. You put this report out, they really highlighted it. Posobiec, tell us how phony this thing is.
Yeah, Steve, it's really amazing because as you read through some of it, I mean, it sounds like something that it sounds like a War Room Pandemic episode, right? Because the first line, China has sought to subvert international norms and institutions. I mean, that is something that you go back just a couple of months, you go back a couple of years, that's something you're only hearing from where? War Room Pandemic, you're hearing it, and you're hearing it from Donald J. Trump. You're hearing it in his campaign. You're hearing it from him from the campaign stage 2015, all of those primaries, all those debates that he went through. But, I've got to tell you something, just from my own perspective, as someone who was a China analyst in the IC for 8.5 years, I sat there for all that time watching as China was doing this. But meanwhile, the resources of our intelligence community, the resources of our military and our government, were spending trillions of dollars playing nation building and whack-a-mole in Afghanistan, in Somalia, in Yemen, all across the Middle East. And at the same time, China was expanding their influence across not only into our backyard in the United States, but also across the Asia Pacific in ways that haven't been seen since Imperial Japan in the 1930s. And all the while this was going, we were told, oh, don't worry about this. You know, your stuff isn't as important as this guy we're going after in Kandahar, or, you know, this one, you know, petty warlord that we're going to spend millions of dollars of munitions and man and hundreds of man hours going after because it's going to upset the balance of some local election in, you know, some province of Afghanistan. Like, do we ever step back and say what affects the well-being and the national security of the American citizen more? And it finally seemed, I mean, hopefully this is something where they're at least giving us that mea culpa, but really is, we've been saying this all along, and you denied it, you rejected it, and you let it grow. And in many cases, such as Joe Biden, but not just Joe Biden, right? They enabled this. They allowed this to fester, and they got rich from it. A lot of people got rich off of this, and that's the real reason that we were told to shut up and stand down.
Jack, real quickly, I know you got to run. You've given us an overtime segment here. You're a naval intel officer. You've been there for 8 years. You were there really working the problem. If you had to make a recommendation right now to the nation, not to the Republicans or Democrats, but what you think has to happen here with the intel's engagement regarding the Chinese Communist Party, what would you recommend?
The way that we treated the Soviet Union in the 1980s and the 1970s has to be the way we treat the CCP now.
What do you mean by that? As a mortal enemy?
Well, as someone where we spend the bulk of our funding, right? Everybody knows that in the intel game and in the military game, DoD acquisitions, it all comes down to funding and prioritization of funding, right? Why is it that certain ops get more funding than others, why certain centers get more funding than others, right? It's because of prioritization. It's because of Congress. And that's actually where these reports work. So I would go to the China centers and I would be there and say,
I think we've got a problem with Jack's mic.
Is the mic off?
Yeah.
The kill switch. They said
the kill switch. You got him? I don't have him in mind.
The CCP.
Was that the kill switch? No, we've got. Yeah, you've got the CCP. Exactly. Look, they've infiltrated everywhere. They've infiltrated the war room.
Something wrong in mind.
You know, I want to say something here, Steve. I am in total agreement with Jack. I think we have to treat them like the Soviet Union. I'm going to repeat something I said last week from an article in the New York Times. Trump is wrong about TikTok. China's plans are much more sinister, written by Yi Zhangliang, the former Hong Kong Economic Journal chief editor. And he writes, I quote, since China adopted the national intelligence law in June 2017, all Chinese citizens and companies have been under legal obligation to help the government gather intelligence and keep that cooperation secret. The law allows China's intelligence services to embed their people and devices or to requisition facilities in any premise, anywhere for that purpose. And this goes back, and I'm reminding again our Vietnam guys, right? You remember the three-man cells in South Vietnam? The Constitution of the Chinese Communist Party also essentially requires any company with at least three Communist Party members to form a cell tasked with carrying out the party's wishes. This is right from Mao's Little Red Book, people. And I think, in my opinion, I may not have the agreement with everybody on this table, but I think it's high time that we limit the number of mainland Chinese students who can study in North America. Think about it. We did not have 300,000 Soviet students studying here during the Cold War.
I think we...
I think what we have to do... We'll have the new federal state on at the bottom of the hour, but I think what we've got to do is really drill down on how the CCP is using these students as intelligence asset. It's not the students' fault, but I think you're right. These agreements they have to sign, and we got to drill down on this. If they actually sign these agreements, and these agreements they got to go back to some sort of handler every month, it all has to be questioned. We're going to have the new federal state on the bottom of the hour. I want to thank Posobiec for giving us 15 minutes of overtime here to talk about intel.
Can we put this picture up? Can we put this picture up real quick? The We want to congratulate.
Oh, you're putting it up?
We want to congratulate.
Oh, there it is.
The Pasobics on the latest. What do you call this thing?
Ultrasound.
Ultrasound.
It's a child. It's a baby.
I know. Well, what do you call that thing?
That is life. That is life, right?
Action,
there.
Action, action,
action, action, action.
From Jack Pasobic.
Next generation.
On the second child. Congratulations to the Pasobics.
Thanks,
we'll
guys.
Be back with more War Room Pandemic. Stephen K. Bannon, Jack Maxey, Raheem Kassam, in just a second.
War Room Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank all of our worldwide distributors. It makes this show so massive throughout the world. And in fact, at the bottom of the hour today, we're going to be going talking from New Zealand to Barcelona to the new federal state. It is National Day in China when the CCP takes credit for taking charge of the nation of China. And I think that's a lie because their grip on the Chinese people and Lao Beijing weakens every day. We're going to have live reports. There are protests all over the world. Jack Maxey knows this. He was at the consulate when they started protesting back in the summer. And now they're all over the world, from Japan to New Zealand to Australia to Europe. Barcelona, we're going to actually do a live report from Barcelona. You're going to see some tremendous, incredible footage of this global protest today by the folks that want to breathe the pure air of freedom. That's Lao Beijing, old 100 names in China. Raheem, before we go to our next guest, Ian Smith, can we get Jack Pasobic? Can you give people Jack Pasobic's Twitter handle if Twitter's back up? Pasobic, you know, former naval intelligence officer. This situation on the House Intel report on China is absolutely unbelievable. We're going to be getting a lot more into it, and I'm probably going to have Pasobic back on as a guest tomorrow just to talk about it. Just insane. What's his Twitter handle?
Yeah, that's right. Well, Jack Pasobic just passed 1 million followers on Twitter, and his handle is @Jack, Pasobic, Jack Pasobic, @Jack Pasobic.
Raheem, I also want to give a hat tip to the National Pulse and you guys, just and the American Principle Project. Everybody's in back of the timing of the book, The Russia Lie. Because if you read The Russia Lie and compare and contrast it to the House Intel Report, take the Republican Minority Report first, but then take Adam Schiff's Intel report today about the complete debacle that the intelligence community has had on China. This is a disgrace, and it's not a small thing. It is the main thing. We have an enemy that's an existential threat to the world, to all mankind. Dr. Yan is on the Week magazine in a cover story. We're going to talk about more about that tomorrow when we have time, but she's got the cover of the Week magazine, an amazing interview, right, where she talks about the biological weapons program coming out of these labs in mainland China. The Chinese Communist Party is an existential threat to mankind, and particularly to the leader of the free world, the United States of America. Our intelligence apparatus has been asleep at the switch for 25 years. It's unacceptable, and heads have to be on pikes, starting with Brennan and these corrupt SOBs are in the Obama administration. It's a total disgrace, and it's completely a disgrace how they try to shift everything to Russia, which is an economy the size of New York State in a demographic death spiral. That is, yes, they're bad guys, plenty of nuclear weapons, run by a kleptocracy, run by the KGB, but it's marginalia, as I said from day one. So Stephen K. Bannon and the rest of the China hammer posse was right. All the other guys were wrong, and Adam Schiff's not, and the Democrats are not going to be able to be able to hide in back of this report. We're going to field strip this thing. I want to turn now to Ian Smith, the co-owner of Attila's Gym in New Jersey. So, sir, you at the heart, and this gets back to the debate the other night, how you just, you know, have to think through how you open up the economy versus just these pure shutdowns that go forever. I think the American people are in a situation right now, including many working-class Democrats. If Biden really sits there and goes, I'm letting Tony Fauci make all the calls, and we don't shut down for another year or shut down for another year, he'll lose in a landslide. Can you go through specifically what happened to you under Phil Murphy in the government of New Jersey as you tried to run your business?
So our experience with Phil Murphy, being the good soldier that he is for the Democratic Party, he shut us down with no due process whatsoever, and never provided any evidence that showed that small business was a real threat And he passed the buck on the nursing home deaths, and he made small business seem like the villains. And he tried to make the shutdown last as long as possible. My business partner and I knew that from about week six, that the economy would not be opening anytime soon. So we decided that we were going to create our own public safety plan for our guests, and we opened. And we did so hoping that government would reach out and want to work with us. And quite the opposite happened. To date, we have over 60 criminal charges, well over $250,000 in fines from Phil Murphy himself. We were stripped of our business license. We were arrested. We had our doors, our locks changed on our building. We had our doors barricaded. You name it, we've been through it. And no outreach from government whatsoever to check our protocol. The health department was weaponized, the police department was weaponized, the state police was weaponized, the county sheriff was weaponized. It's very clear from the actions of the governor that this is not about public safety, it's about control, and it's about stomping out the economy in order to help win an election.
Let me ask you, what's your feeling of the local community, of actually the folks out there, people that not only came to your gym, and were people that paid to come to the gym and kind of the community that you serve, but also the broader community. What's the sense of where the people in New Jersey are?
The people are sick and tired of being told what to do. They're tired of being told how to run their lives. They're tired of being treated like children. We have people who come into the gym every single day to support and buy merchandise. A lot of those people are lifelong Democrats who share with us that they won't be voting for Biden this time because they don't recognize who the Democrats have become. And we have a gym full of people from all walks of life, all different socioeconomic statuses, different races, different backgrounds. And I can tell you the entire gym won't be voting for Biden because they've seen the ugly side of the Democratic policies and they've experienced it.
Things that we talk about every day is how the Democratic Party and the media partners, the mainstream media, have traumatized the Democratic Party base. And the reason they have this fiasco of mail-in voting is that they've traumatized these people. I mean, we've been doing War and Pandemic since the middle of January, and we give a broad range of opinion. Jack Max is going to do a summary here in the next half hour, but we talk about guys who think it's a hoax all the way to people that are at the height of science and think this thing is a biological weapon from China and everything in between. But what the Democrats and the mainstream media, particularly CNN, MSNBC, they traumatize people so they're afraid to come out. Have you seen that actually in Jersey? Have you seen where some of the Democratic voters have actually been traumatized by the hype put on by the mainstream media?
Yeah, I see it all over the place in New Jersey. Never at our facility. We're currently being fined $15,000 a day by Governor Murphy because we refuse to mandate masks. Everybody who comes in the facility, masks are optional, but anybody who comes here has really, at one point or another, seen through the nonsense and the scare tactics that the media and the Democratic politicians have been pushing. However, if you step outside and go pretty much anywhere else in New Jersey, the fear is still ratcheted very high, and people are still buying into this idea that a cloth face covering is going to protect you against a virus. And the amount of fully grown adults who haven't done the research for themselves and just have bought this hook, line, and sinker is pretty alarming. And it's in part to Governor Murphy and his group of cronies, including, you know, Judith Persichelli at the health department and everybody else who helps put on this show that they, you know, this public health charade that they seem to be latching onto so dearly.
Being fined $15,000 a day and you have 60 criminal charges against you. How is New Jersey? I mean, you look in the tri-state area. I'm here in Manhattan. It's stunning what a ghost town New York City is. How do these governments in Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey expect to go on? I mean, they've destroyed the greatest city in the world, New York City. What do you think they're thinking is how they believe they're going to go forward economically?
You know, it's my belief that all of these far left, whether they're governors or mayors or whoever they are in politics, I feel like they're acting like kamikazes. I feel like they know that they don't have a shot in this upcoming election because so many people are happy with the way Trump has sort of led the country in the past 3.5 years that they don't have a good candidate to put against him. And I think that they know that they're going to lose. And it's one of these, you know, burn the oil field tactics that we saw in the Gulf War, where they don't care about the destruction because it doesn't impact Governor Murphy. You know, he doesn't care whether he gets reelected. He's got $60 million in the bank. You know, so it's I don't think that they have a plan moving forward because I don't think that they have any sight beyond the election. You know, I think this is a death rattle for them.
I tell you, give us your handle because I want to have you back on, if not tomorrow, then sometime next week. You've got amazing theories. I've really gone into your Twitter feed and read some of your writings. You've got amazing theories about where we are as a culture, and I want to give full time to be able to do that. We're kind of jammed for time today. But how do people get access to what's going on daily at your store? Because I think you're emblematic of this kind of tough entrepreneurial spirit, the grit of the American entrepreneur, and I think people want to follow your story. How do they do that?
On Instagram, and I just recently started a Twitter, which is where I've been speaking a lot about my ideas about masculinity and the lack thereof in the modern world. And they are both Ian Smith Fitness, all one word. You can follow me on both of those. I post a lot of updates, and I stay very active on both of those.
Smith, we look forward to having you back. I really want to get into your theories of masculinity and modern culture. They're pretty amazing. So Ian Smith, the co-owner of Attila's Gym, who's fighting the good fight for entrepreneurs in New Jersey. Thanks for joining us, World Pandemic.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, brother. Hey, Raheem, Jack, we're going to next, the next half hour, we're going to get a worldwide tour of the new federal state of the freedom of the Chinese people, and then Jack Maxey's going to give us an amazing summary of where we stand with the pandemic, where we stand with vaccines, where we stand with therapeutics. Raheem, I want to go back to you and Jack. Hashtag war and pandemic. We need full engagement for folks. We need you pushing out, being a force multiplier on the content. We need you signing up for Get Out the Vote. We need you signing up to be election officials. We need you signing up to be poll watchers. You see how that's triggering the left. By the way, if you're one of the Bernie guys that listen to us, you still believe in Biden, go sign up for him.
Yeah. Back in a second, the War Room Pandemic.
War Room Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Let me tell you what I've been through, baby. Lived a life that was hella unfair. Seen things that been driving me crazy. In a country where the leaders don't care. Didn't think we had the courage to change it. Tore it down and they weren't prepared. Everything that they kept us from saying. Now we're talking and they better be scared. Taking us. Tell us what.
Now we're talking and they better be scared. That is the voice of a people yearning to be free. This is Lao Baijing and the Chinese people. Welcome back to World and Pandemic. We're very honored to give you the signal, not the noise, to get NARS news today. That's why for years we've been talking about the infiltration of not just American society, but in the United Kingdom, in the West, of the Chinese Communist Party through their influence peddling and their money laundering and their money. And now Adam Schiff, Shifty Shift, he's got a report out today. This is not the minority report of Jim Banks and McCarthy and the Republicans. This is the House Democratic Intelligence Committee putting out a report that is damning. It's damning. It's an American intelligence apparatus. Remember, Steve Bannon is a guy that says, hey, there's no conspiracy. There's no deep state. It's up in your grill. It's up in your grill, and it's totally incompetent. And you want to see its incompetence. Yes, Brennan, Clapper, Hayden, your incompetence, almost treasonous incompetence, There's going to be heads on pikes because of this. Trust me. You guys are a disgrace. It's a disgrace what's happened to this country. It's a total and absolute disgrace, and particularly the fact that you've used the apparatus to go after people that have called you out for years. You've put the United States in jeopardy. You put the free world in jeopardy. You put mankind in jeopardy. But most important, I think, the people in China that want to be free of these dictators, you've just buried them. You're an absolute and total disgrace. You've basically had the backs of some of the worst criminals since the Nazi Party in the 1930s. And it's totally to blame for you. Adam Schiff's new House report, we'll be going through this. They're now trying to cover themselves for it. Ain't going to happen. Just like the Transition Integrity Project, not going to happen. You got War Room Pandemic. We're going to field strip everything. You can whine, you can complain, you can cry, but we're going to be relentless. One of the great things about what's happening with the Chinese people, because the reason the show is so powerful is we combine the deplorables in the United States with Lao Beijing and mainland China and the people that have left China that are yearning to be free. The amazing thing is this, the whistleblower movement, but even more amazing is the new federal state of China, because the Chinese, you know, what they've told the elites and what the elites tell you is China's so chaotic. The Chinese people don't understand democracy. They don't understand the rule of law. They don't understand freedom. So we need to be tough. We need to have an authoritarian apparatus over top of them. And they fail to look at old Hong Kong. They fail to look at Taiwan or New Zealand or Canada, or the United States or England or Western Europe, where the Chinese, once they get rule of law, once they get freedom, once they get freedom of religion, they thrive. Well, the Chinese people have had a belly full of it. In the new federal state today, in the National Day of China, which is the big celebration of the Chinese Communist Party taking over the country, they're throughout the world with a global protest, from New Zealand to Australia to Europe to Japan. We've got footage up there we're going to be playing in this segment. And now I want to bring in, they use non-diplomas because they're under pressure. Their families are totally under pressure from mainland China by the Chinese Communist Party and state security and the PLA. But I want to go to Barcelona and bring in 7G, his nom de jour. And 7G, can you tell us what is the new federal state trying to accomplish by having this massive global protest on what is the national day for the Chinese Communist Party, where they're really bragging about how they really control China and they took over China? Why have you guys selected October 1st to be the day that you that you really go out there and protest on a global basis?
This is Steve Bannon. I heard so much about you. You are so respected for the Chinese Lao Beijing. We are really appreciate all your great job for to save the Chinese people. Anyway, we chose the October 1st because, in fact, today actually is the in China is the traditional mid autumn day. Normally, Chinese people will get together with families to get together to have dinner or something to celebrate the mid autumn day. And also today is the Chinese communist regime govern China for 71 years. 71 years ago, the Chinese communist regime conquered China. Since that moment, the Chinese people lost the freedom, lost the rule of law, lost everything. We have no freedom at all. That's why we selected today as the day to demonstrate to the Chinese Communist Party to take down the CCP, to express our idea. The Chinese Communist Party is not equal to the Chinese people, to follow Brother Mao's rule. That's why we select today as the celebrate date. Thank you.
7G, here's the question, the footage, we're going to try to get up some of the footage here in a second. It just absolutely blew me away, from New Zealand to Japan, to Barcelona, and you go in front of the consulates, and you actually protest, and the crowds are amazing, you know, marching streets. You've never really seen this. The Tiananmen Square movement really didn't catch on. These other movements that the Chinese tried to do, this seems to be catching on a global basis. what is different? And I realize we had the Foundation Day on 4 June in front of the Statue of Liberty. Miles Gore's in back of the whistleblower movement. He's one of the founders of it. You have Mr. Han, who's the Michael Jordan of Chinese soccer. But what has been different about this movement that it seems to be now a global movement, whether it's Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Canada, or Europe? What makes this, the new federal state movement, different than other things that have tried to do this in the past?
This movement, from my point of view, and also our friends of whistleblower movement, well, I think this is the new China, the new federal state of China is 100% different from the Chinese communist regime. So we selected the Barcelona General Consulate of Chinese communist regime, and we didn't go to embassy in Madrid because of the CCP virus. Pandemic in Madrid is much more serious than Barcelona. So it's much more difficult for our whistleblowers friend come over from other European countries like Germany, France, Holland, Finland, etc. So that's why we select Barcelona General Consulate for the Chinese Consulate, because of the pandemic in Madrid is much more serious and much more bad. That's why we, and also from my point of view, I think all of our whistleblowers friends, we think the new federal state of China is totally different from the communist regime. We are really follow Brother Mao's work. We have freedom. We follow Mao's idea since more than 3 years ago, and we know where the Chinese communist regime, they did so much, the CCP did so much evil to suppress the freedom of Chinese people, and that's why we have to stand up to show our opinion. We don't agree that the CCP represents our Chinese people 100% more. So we are the citizen of the new federal state of China instead of the Chinese communist regime. Thank you.
Sun Jin, last thing, and we're getting the footage up now that you can see this just amazing global protest between all these different nations in the world is going to be going on. There's one in here in New York today. I'm actually going to try to speak at it if we can work it out, because they're going to be in. And here's the thing, people, the United States, you understand. These individuals go right in front of the consulates. All this footage you see on TV, we're putting up now on Real America Voice, they're going right in front of the consulates and calling out the Chinese Communist Party, either the embassies or the consulates. 7G, last question I've got for you. How dangerous, we know with Dr. Yan and the defectors that come out of the labs, that their families are under constant scrutiny, arrest, all that. How dangerous is it for people in the new federal state, for the Chinese Communist Party to want to have retribution against you guys?
Thank you, sir. In fact, everybody, including myself, we have a fear deep inside our heart. Because my families, a lot of our whistleblowers, friends, families still live in China. As long as the Chinese Communist Party is there, the regime is there, we can't, a lot of, I know a lot of our friends are very brave. They stand up to say no to the CCP, but the fact is the Chinese Communist Party is still there to grow the 1.4 billion Chinese people. So even though we know this is very dangerous for me and also for my family, they can go to my family to ask to arrest to give suppression to arrest them whatsoever. We know this is really hard for a lot of our friends from China, even though we are in this perfect country, in Spain, we have a rule of law, we have freedom, democracy, but we are Chinese, we are from China, we have relatives in China, so we have fear, but for us, a lot of our whistleblowers friends, they told me if they don't stand up to say no to the CCP, their children's grandchildren will not have a chance to live in the freedom of the world, with the rule of law. This is the last chance for us. That's why we all stand up to say no to the Chinese CCP regime and to take down the CCP. Thank you, sir.
7G, just make sure you tell all your colleagues in Barcelona, and when you're online, tell all your colleagues worldwide. We try to every day as we talk to them, that you've got tremendous support here in the United States, not just War Room pandemic, but I got to tell you, the deplorables, the outreach, and what we've heard from our audience on live stream and on Twitter is absolutely incredible. You people are really the new federal state, is I think showing the world what real bravery and courage is, and doing it in a peaceful manner. You're showing how to peacefully protest and not back down. So really, we're honored to have you on. We're honored to know you guys. So thank you very much for coming on, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. We really love you.
Thanks, 7G. Appreciate it. Short commercial break. We'll be back with Jack Maxey in a moment.
Yeah, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Jack Maxey, Stephen K. Bannon, Raheem Kassam. Breaking news, Joe Biden has called a lid at 11:03 a.m. See you in a second.
War Room. Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to the War Room. It's Jack Maxey here in Washington, D.C. with Raheem Kassam. Steve is on assignment in New York, and I am going to try and give you the roundup on the coronavirus. I think there are two things that came out today which were very interesting. One was widely reported. It is a study that was published in the Journal of American Medical Association, the efficacy and safety of hydroxychloroquine versus placebo for pre-exposure SARS-CoV-2 prophylaxis among healthcare workers. This is being parroted all over the media today. This was a study that looked at 132 patients or people who presumably had exposure because they're working in a healthcare environment. Now, what they found was that four people in the placebo group got it and four people in the other group got it. None of them had very adverse symptoms. Most of them were asymptomatic. This is 40 people. This is being parroted around the world as proof that hydroxychloroquine does not work as a prophylaxis. Now, what's doubly interesting, another study was published at the same time that is not getting the coverage that it should. Randomized controlled trials of early ambulatory hydroxychloroquine in the prevention of COVID-19 infection, hospitalization, and death meta-analysis. Now, this has been written by some very serious doctors, one of whom is Harvey Risch from Yale University. And what they did was they went back and they looked at retrospectively over 5,000 clinical trials where randomized control was used. 5,577 patients were included. Now, what they found was overall a 24% reduction in COVID-19 infection, hospitalization, and or death. They also found that there were almost no reported cardiac arrhythmia or any other problems. Now, going back to the study that I referenced before out of University of Pennsylvania with 40 participants, what I found incredible about this study was that it lasted for 8 weeks, and the people who were getting hydroxychloroquine were getting 400 milligrams per day. This is a significant dosage. And what was very interesting, when I put the document into a PDF and I searched it for heart and or arrhythmia, apparently they didn't even monitor it. They just made sure that nobody had a history of it before they put them on this. So people were getting massive amounts of hydroxychloroquine over an 8-week period that is actually larger than the prescribed amount for if you actually have the disease. So The buried lead in this one for the mainstream media, if you're listening, is first, do no harm. This didn't cause the heart attacks and the deaths and everything that it said. And one of the things from Harvey Risch's study that was very interesting, he had some problems because you have to remember these massive studies that were going on around the world, sponsored by the World Health Organization, NIH, etc., they got canceled in the early summer because of those articles from Lancet that were pulled and some other articles that were highly questionable, including the VA study. Now, while we have time, now that we've covered hydroxychloroquine and the continuing scam from the mainstream media, I'd like to go and look at the vaccines, because I think there's some very, very interesting developments going on in there. We've heard about this AstraZeneca vaccine, the one that we call the Oxford vaccine. And there are some problems with it right now because they've halted the U.S. studies. And the reason why they halted the U.S. studies is because there was a neurological disorder found in one of the participants in England. And it's called transverse myelitis. Now, this was causing a kind of paralysis in the patient. There is some question as to whether or not this could have been random or whether or not it was actually associated with the vaccine. There was only one case of it. But interestingly, and this has a lot of people questioning, particularly inside the markets and elsewhere, the study remains halted in the United States, and there really has never been a very strong explanation as to why. Now, another study that came out just the other day, which I think is something that we should talk about, because we look at the most vulnerable patients in the world concerning COVID-19, and clearly it is much more dangerous for people who are elderly, 65 and above. And so the Moderna group did a study that they recently published where they're looking at how this affects older patients. And the study was called Safety and Immunogenicity of SARS-CoV-2 MMA 1273. Now, what's interesting about this vaccine is they use the old virus from Wuhan, not the current one. So there's questions about how immunity will affect and whether or not you could get infected with both of them. I'm going to have to shut out. People are signaling me that the beautiful song is on and they're sick of my voice. But this is stuff that we have to pay attention to. The good thing is that the small Moderna study did seem to show that it provided immunity for the elderly patients. Back tomorrow.
The new song by Miles Guo, Dear Mama, I'm Taking Down the CCP. Enjoy.
Over and over and over and over again. So I'm putting up a fight to protect my family. Let's take down the CCP. It might have made a virus, but the virus is there, screaming no more death, 'cause together we stand. It's just you and me. Taking out the CCP. It might have took our parents, but they can't take our hearts, 'cause the path we have shines bright in the dark. It's just you and me. Taking down the CCP.
Mama, 我们的哭泣 已经感动了天地， 感动了天地。 妈妈， 我们的哭泣 已经感动了天地， 感动了天地。
Hey son, I got a million things I wish I could have said to you, but I'll start with I'm so proud. Yeah, you're doing the things that should have been done a long time ago. And I know, and I know, and I know.